It's time to get unfiltered and unfettered. And now, here's Tony and Fran.
Shut the front door, it's UFUF 164. Holy smokes. Francis, it's 2 days after the 4th of July. We have a lot of stuff to talk about. This is your patriotically arrogant co-host, Tony the Bully Opinionist, along with my friend, Master Trainer, Pope of the Podcast, Sir Francis One. Fran, good evening.
Good evening.
Fourth of July. How was your Fourth of July?
We laid low. I worked on the 3rd, so on the 4th we just kind of laid low, went to the pool, did a little grilling, you know, standard American stuff.
See any fireworks?
I love Tennessee, let me just say that. I mean, 3-4 different neighbors had them going off, so we just sat out in the driveway. And they're not talking about, you know, a couple Roman candles and some sparklers. I mean, these people get the rockets.
Right.
You know.
They get the big stuff.
I would have feared for any drone that may have been flying over the neighborhood because they would have been in danger. So we had a good time.
All right. Well, there we go. We're taking care of technical problems.
Yeah, a little technical issue.
Not a big fireworks fan myself.
Really?
We had people in the neighborhood. Well, I kind of got over it when I was 12. I'm just saying. No, I don't have kids, Fran.
Yes, you do.
Well, they're adults.
What kind of America does like fire? Oh, my God.
Although, I do want to say, you know, just something that pisses me off. I see all the social media posts about be considerate of pets because not all pets like fireworks, right? Like, they get scared. They get scared, Francis.
Milo was a little twerked up. Yeah, he didn't care for it.
Like, so people in the neighborhood were firing off stuff. Jack was sleeping. Like, he raised his head.
Yeah.
Hey, what is that? I was like, man, just go back to sleep. He's like, all right.
Well, that's the thing. As long as he was on the bed with us, he didn't care. He wasn't going to be outside with him. But, yeah, he was fine, too. But
so it is 4th of July week. It's actually, for us, it's July 6th. We missed the 4th of July. Big stuff going on. Lots of fun. Fran, I want to do say, though, that last week in the spin-up, which is industry term for what we call this right here, for you, you know, non-professionals.
Still inside info there.
I said, we're going to do a bit called What is Wrong with America? And then we got so charged up, or I got so charged up,
well,
about doing TNAC.
Well, TNAC was here, right. So
we skipped right over that. So we're not going to do that this week, but I do want to know that we acknowledge that we announced it and didn't do it. And we fired those staff members on the spot. They're gone.
Gone.
We said, go out, get yourself some of that Obamacare. You're done.
Yeah, that's real America for you.
Oh, yeah.
We're a performance-based industry.
Absolutely. All right. So we got a lot of big things coming tonight. Shotgun and news. A big sports update tonight.
Yes.
You know I get excited about this.
I knew exactly what was going to come.
Hardcore politics. Yeah, I got a problem with that. A very, very special theater of the bizarre that, to me, signals the continuing trip into the Twilight Zone. And then a signs of the apocalypse that some of you might not want to Google, but we'll get to that.
That'll come with an alert.
Let's go.
Okay, boys, let's get started. Give me both barrels and shotgun that news.
First up, Francis, your home state boy, New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, got his picture taken like a beached whale on a closed beach.
And they were closed because
He closed them
because of the budget dispute with the state government.
So, it's a big picture of a completely empty beach, except for Chris Christie and his family.
Right, and his security, state police security detail. Those are the men standing behind him. Yeah, so we were there the week. Thank God we went. We went the 2 weeks prior to that.
Yeah.
And the beaches were open. Everything was a lot of fun. People were getting ready for the 4th of July. It's always a big glut of money on the Jersey Shore because the place gets crowded. But not when Chris Christie's running the show. Shuts those beaches down, then carries his fat ass onto the beach.
I mean, in his defense, which I'm not defending him, it was the governor's beach place.
Well, right. No. But look.
And so, but his quote is, I think I have proven over the past 8 years that I don't care about political optics.
Right.
Amen, brother.
And look, he's term limited in New Jersey.
You're done.
He's in I don't give a shit mode, right? So, and that's what that looks like. Now, I will say, as we were saying before, his surgery to reduce his stomach apparently has been reversed. Because he's pretty healthy in that picture.
Bro, wear some long shorts.
Yeah, do something. Do, you know. Mary Pat, however, his wife, has
good.
Stayed on her plan, and she was almost unrecognizable, was she not?
I was looking today at the memes where they cut him out of that.
They must have been fantastic.
Oh, just funny.
Good work, Chris.
Fran, did you know he's a former federal prosecutor?
I did not know that.
No. All right, next. Fran, this is unbelievable to me. I want to talk about... Okay, so first of all, and I didn't even know this. Trump tweeted some GIF of him in a WWE thing tackling a guy, but somebody had pasted the CNN logo on the guy's face.
Right. He clotheslined this dude.
He clotheslined some dude. So the first thing that I find out about is I'm channel flipping. I run across CNN, and they go, he's inciting violence against CNN reporters. Right?
Yep.
So I'm like, what are they talking about? So I do a little research. I'm like, really? Okay, so if you're my age, which I'm in my mid-50s, okay, late 50s, but you know what? Get off my ass. I grew up watching Bugs Bunny, Roadrunner, Wile E. Coyote. I'm like, this is not inciting violence. This is just a joke.
I thought it was more of a victory lap. I thought it was like, look what I did to these fuckers, right? This is what... Because he's pretty much got several people fired from CNN who made up fake stories about the Russia investigation. I thought it was his little busting balls victory lap. Well, I didn't think it was, hey, go out and attack reporters.
Whatever it was, CNN makes a big deal out of this. I tune in...
Now, they weren't the only ones, but CNN was leading the charge.
Oh, yeah, they were leading the charge. I mean, I don't remember if it was... I don't remember which morning that I tuned into their New Day with the bimbo Allison Camerota and Chris Cuomo. I did say bimbo.
Yeah, you didn't when she was on Fox. I'm just
and
saying.
No, I did actually when she was in. She was just more palatable. And she's like, well, he did apologize, so I'm willing to accept that.
He did?
If he apologized. Yeah, the dude issued an apology, which is part of the scandal, which is that CNN chased this guy down, found out who he was, and said, we're going to tell everybody who you are if you don't say you're sorry.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant Trump issued an apology.
Oh, no. I meant the guy.
The guy who created the... Yeah. And that's obscene.
It is
everything people have been saying about CNN, they proved with that. You cannot, as a news organization, threaten somebody's free speech. I mean, are you kidding me with that?
For you to even make any kind of a big deal out of it, it's a 15-second GIF. Now what's happened is there's 1,000 GIFs
right.
of Trump's face smashing CNN.
Right.
Right?
Well, look. They're making a big deal of it. That's what they do, right? I mean, that's how they get clicks. But to actually threaten a person.
Yeah, well, that's unproven, but that's suspected.
Well, no, and I've read that several places. And
I
they
have
call
to.
It in the social media world, that's called doxing, right?
Mm-hmm.
To out somebody like that with personal information like address and phone number and stuff like that. That's what they were going to do to this kid if he didn't stop making those types of
well,
things. That's not... They don't have the right to do that.
No, there's... WikiLeaks said they broke the law.
Yeah, absolutely did. Yeah. You can't coerce people like that.
Right.
It's certainly not publicly, like the way they did.
But even regardless of illegal, legal, or whatever, like, to me, it's almost like Trump trolled you with a 12-year-old gag, admittedly, and you fell for it.
Well, because they're CNN. I mean,
he got... remember,
he fish-hooked them.
Remember, Wayne's World fished in like a big old bass.
Yeah, he fish-hooked them, no doubt. And all that stuff to me is meaningless against this threat. That to me is so... I mean, they're threatening this guy's free speech. They are not a news network.
They're crumbling, man.
Any defense they would make that they're just reporting the facts is a load of crap. That proves that they are what everyone has been calling them. News organizations don't threaten people's free speech.
Well, even more than that, Fran, as a news organization, why would you even make this a story?
Right.
You made yourself the butt of the joke.
And you should never make yourself the story, right? Ever. If I was Jake Tapper, my ass would be out of there so fast it wouldn't be funny.
That is just
a sinking ship. I just cannot believe.
Yeah, and Jim Acosta is putting holes in the boat. Yeah. I mean, he's an asshole too. But I just couldn't believe that over a 15-second GIF, you know, they made a story out of it, and now they're, like I say, there's 1,000 GIFs out there of Trump blowing the smackdown on CNN.
I mean,
because that's what people are going to do.
There is Goodness a story sake. When the President of the United States tweets out something like
it
that.
It was stupid.
Yeah, and we has already called on him to stop doing that.
Yeah.
He's not heeding us, but, you know, what are you going to do? But the story wasn't what they made it.
No.
There was a different story there, whereas the President of the United States is wasting his time doing this. What, you know what I mean? Like, this is really... He's going to battle the cable news networks?
This is a perfect example of you should have let somebody else make a big deal out of this.
That's what you used to call a surrogate in the business.
You know,
get your surrogates doing that.
You wanted to counterattack, and you made fools of yourself.
Right.
You allowed yourselves to be trolled, I think, in the current vernacular.
And then you committed a crime and told the world that you're not a news network.
Yeah.
That you think you're a small crime family. Yeah. Terrible.
Just incredible. Terrible. All right. Next. Friend, this is something we've talked about several times on UFUF. So the Sweden canceled this Bravalla News Fest. Sweden, which we've done segments on Sweden, statistics. Is being the rape capital of Europe.
Mostly the immigrant issue, I think, is
because
what we
Because of
right?
immigrants. I'm glad you said it first. Yes.
Right, because I remember you took quite a bit of heat for... reporting that, which turned out to be true.
The truth sometimes sucks. But they canceled this Bravalla News Fest, Musical Festival, in 2018, because for the last 2 years, they've had, well, this year, they had 11, four reports of rape, 11 reports of sexual abuse, which... was just slightly lower than what they had in 2016, the year before. So they've canceled it in 2018. So Sweden...
So it's no longer hyperbole coming from two jerk-offs in Tennessee.
No,
the Swedish government has had to take an action based on this issue.
Well, it's not even the government. It's the organizers that have said, we can't do this anymore.
Okay.
We can't do this anymore because too many... We were having rapes. We're having people getting molested. Now, curiously, and I've spent some time researching this. You have a hard time finding anybody wanting to talk about the ethnicity of the offenders. Last year, you could find plenty of that. This year, because of social agendas, you can't find that. But suddenly, apparently, Swedes have become rapists and sexual harassers in record numbers. So. That's a terrible thing. But anyways, that's something that we've talked about 4 or 5 times here on UFUF. I don't want to make a point about it, but, well, I just did. So let's go next. Fran, 44... So the Trump administration is trying to get
They're trying to get everyone's personal voting information. Right. They have a panel commissioned to investigate voter fraud, and the panel is requested from each... state through the Secretary of State for each state into the voting commissions. They want the personal information of the voters, all the voters, all the registered voters. And you know how they register you is your Social Security number. I know you had a little bit of a run-in with that at some point. The states, 44 states to this point have said, go to hell. We're not compelled to give you that information. Tennessee, in fact, has a law against doing that. So, and this commission should have known that. The governor of Kentucky said there ain't enough whiskey in the state of Kentucky to make me give those up. So 44 states, which means, obviously, there are some red states in there that if they go to hell, we're not giving you that information.
Yeah.
And I think the other 6 states just are laughing too hard to have responded yet. They're not going to get any of this information. They want your personal information to identify whether or not you're a voter. You know, we could make a lot of, like, leaps, you know, but that's a little frightening to me. We're talking about having lists of registered voters having their personal information, their Social Security number, their addresses, all that, in the hands of the federal government. And it's not supposed to work that way. It doesn't. It that's just scary to me. I don't, especially in the hand of this administration, because they don't seem to know jack shit about what they're doing.
Well, it's not scary to me because they already have all that information, first of all. But it's unreasonable for them to think that they can ask for that and get that and make some sort of adjudication based on that. So, yeah.
But let's talk optics. We're not talking about a fat man on a beach now. We're talking about the federal government wanting to personally ID all the registered voters so they can have their own centralized list of all voters in the country by Social Security number. Now, is that information out there for them to gather? Probably.
But
that's to me, that's
I don't think it's as frightening as it is ignorant. Okay. That's what I think.
To me, with this group, it frightens me. It's unseemly, to say the least, to say, well, we want to ID every voter in your state to make sure that they should be voting, and we want to know that voter fraud is not... Even Obama came out and said the Russians did not create voter fraud on election night. That is not the meddling people are talking about. There was no machines giving out votes to Trump instead of Hillary. Even Obama said that. The meddling they're talking about is more propaganda in nature.
Right. Yeah.
This red herring of voter fraud is ridiculous. It had nothing to do with the election. It didn't get Trump elected. It didn't get Obama elected. It's nonsense.
Well, if it was true, Trump probably wouldn't have been elected.
Right. If there was voter fraud, right. You'd think she would have manipulated that to win, right? Yeah. Not lose badly. So I just think it's ridiculous.
Goes on both ways. I agree. All right, next. Like that, you bastards!
Let's just get past the diabolical part where he machine gunned 25 family members the other week.
Yeah. Talking about Kim Jong-un.
Kim Jong-un, they fired a long-range ballistic weapon. It went 1,200 miles into space and turned around and came back and landed in the Sea of Japan. A successful test of a long-range booster, they believe to have carried the weight of a nuclear warhead. But the part to me that I think is just fantastic, which it shouldn't be because this is frightening all by itself, is Kim Jong-un is quoted as saying, "Keep giving those American bastards some gifts on their birthday." I think that's fantastic. The fact that he knows that July 4th is our Independence Day, I think is great, number one. The fact that he refers to us as American bastards, I don't know why it makes me laugh. It just does. It just does.
So. I enjoy it. Here's what I want to see. I want us to put one of them missile killer, and the next time they do a long-range test, we just need to shoot it out of the sky.
And we're going to talk about Trump's visit to Europe, but he mentioned that in his first stop in Poland about what they're going
because
to do.
Because this is getting serious. This guy's out of hand.
Right. So,
and he's a psycho.
Right. He's clearly a psycho. And we talked about this before. The key to a nuclear weapons program for anybody is miniaturization.
Yeah.
Uranium is heavy, right? You've got to be able to miniaturize everything else so that you can get it on a warhead that can survive the flight.
Miniaturization and delivery, right? You got to be able to fly it.
But the miniaturization is key to delivery, right? You got to be able to fly this thing out of the atmosphere and back in, and it's got to be able to survive that. Weight of the warhead is critical. So according to some reports, when I got past the part about you American bastards, say that they have made great progress in the miniaturization process of the warhead. And this guy says, look, man, it's going to be within a year that he'll be able to reach the U.S. mainland with a nuke. And this guy will probably use it. So we may see some of these missile killers in Japan or Korea.
In reality,
or somewhere.
I mean, we like to joke and fool around. It's a serious deal.
Yeah, and if you Google Trump's speech in Poland today, earlier this morning, he addresses this directly, and he ain't joking. And this is another guy. He'll do what he says he's going to do. He even said, "I don't draw red lines."
Right.
And I was like, exactly. Okay. All right.
Well, let's go. We'll get to that in hardcore politics. Yeah. Next, let's go to UFUF Sports. I have actually an extended intro piece for this that I think you'll enjoy for UFUF Sports.
Not a game. Not the game that I go out there and die for and play every game like it's my last. Not the game. We're talking about practice, man.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
You need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats. We need more dogs.
All right, Francis. So, 4th of July. When people go, what's your favorite holiday? I never have an answer. I have to tell you, though, 4th of July is a good one. For two reasons. Number one, I don't have to buy anything.
Oh, right. I was like, what?
Number two, Nathan's hot dog eating contest. Nathan's hot dog. Maybe one of the best sporting events in the world. You got your Super Bowl, your World Series, your Stanley Cup, your NBA championships, your Masters. They pale in comparison.
Tread lightly, my friend.
They pale in comparison to the Nathan's hot dog eating championship. Now, let me say, I watch this every year, probably for the last 20 years. I don't know why I'm fascinated by it.
You can go back to every July 4th podcast we've had it since 2013.
Everyone.
And we've talked about this.
So let me talk about this. So, in 2015, Joey Jaws Chestnut, three words, had won, Franny, you're laughing, I'm trying to get through this, had won eight of these contests in a row. The Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Championship on 4th of July. Eight in a row. A guy named George Shea does the introductions. And he did, perhaps, to me, what is the best introduction in the history of introductions. And I love it. So I'm gonna play it for you right now.
You know what this means?
Okay, Fran. So that was the 2015 introduction of eight time.
Yeah.
Now, once Chestnut beat Kobayashi, who had won it like six or seven times, Kobayashi was done. He never came back. Chestnut won it. In 2015, Chestnut lost it to Matt Super Toad Stoney. This is not funny.
Wait, so after that intro, he lost?
He lost.
Because that was a phenomenal intro.
That's phenomenal.
That's
isn't
the greatest intro of all I've ever heard.
Thank you. That is the greatest intro of ever.
Klingon. Nice.
He lost it. Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you America itself. Right?
And then he choked on it.
And I'm going to tell you, when he lost, first of all, I was crushed.
I remember that.
Second of all, I thought he's done. Because you know what? A lot of great champs, very few great champs come back from a defeat. You got maybe Lance Armstrong because, you know, he was juicing.
Yeah.
Tyson, once he lost, he was done.
Ronda Rousey is not.
Ronda Rousey, done. You know, so once I thought, well, that's it. That's it. No.
I just wish they could see the expressions on your face.
Let me.
Like, this is like when I was a kid, I thought wrestling was real. And that's what this is.
Let me play the next introduction, the 2016. After he lost 2015, this is his 2016 introduction.
2 years ago, on this stage, he asked his girlfriend to marry him. And then last year, 1 week before the contest, the wedding was called off. and then on the 4th of July, he lost the title of world champion. And he was beaten, and he was broken, and he was alone. And nothing that he owned had any value, and his thoughts had no shape and no meaning, and the words fell from his mouth without sound. And he was lost and empty-handed, standing like a boy without friends on the schoolyard. But then he remembered that he is Joey Chestnut. And there is a time for pain, and there is a time for punishment. A time for doubt, and a time for dominance. A time for forbearance, and a time for fury. And there is never, ever a time for submission. Ladies and gentlemen, the former champion of the world here to take back what was once his, Joey Chestnut!
So that was his introduction the year after he lost.
Okay.
He came back and he won. And then, that was his ninth. Then this year.
That was 16 we just heard.
That was 16. Okay. 17, he comes back and he wins again for the 10th championship. Bill Russell. Bill Russell is the only one that has won more professional championships than Joey Chestnut. Not Phil Mickelson. Not Michael Jordan.
Not UCLA.
No. Joey Chestnut, 10, has won the Mustard Belt 10 times.
I'm shocked to learn that he was the pierogi champion in 15.
Well, in the Hooters Wings Championship as well.
The Wings, pierogies, and there was something else in there that he
something
won.
Something else.
He's a professional eater, apparently.
Well, it's the professional eaters circuit. They have. It's actually professional.
You say that as if I should just know that.
The to come back as a deposed champion and take back what is yours.
Clearly to come
and
back.
And then this year, he set the world record, 73 dogs in 10 minutes, a 7.3 DPM dogs per minute he set to take back the title.
I mean, really, dude, don't you have to yell spoilers before you say shit like that? He spoiled it for anyone who DVR'd it.
I just love it, man. It is an American spectacle.
That's not a real stat, DPM.
Yes, it is. 73 dogs in 10 minutes. That's 7.3 DPM.
I can do the math. Thank you very much.
Well, I just like to say it.
Is that an official from Weights and Measures? Is that an official?
It is. That's what they were giving the stat on ESPN. They were given the stat as the contest was going on. They're like, Chestnut's at 9.8 DPM. Nobody can
catch
him now.
That's a 10-minute contest? I have no idea.
10 minutes, man.
You'd think I'd know that because for the last however many years we've been talking about it.
73 hot dogs in 10 minutes. Chestnut takes the belt back.
Where did the second place guy come in? How close was he?
Actually, Stoney was nowhere near it. It was some guy called Ciccione or something come out of nowhere. But he was still like 10 dogs back. He was like at 63 or something.
Ciccione probably should be in cannolis.
He kept up until the last 3 minutes. You know, that's what makes a champion.
Where you kick. You got to kick at the end.
You got to have it in the last couple minutes. You can keep up with the champ 6-7 minutes.
You got to want it.
You got to want it. And nobody keeps up.
So this is what they, correct me if I'm wrong, but part of this is where they dunk the buns in water, right?
Yeah, well, yeah.
Which makes them easier to eat, I guess. Is that the idea?
Well, Chestnut takes two dogs in one hand and then the buns in the other. He dunks them in water, eats the dogs, eats the buns. Because you got to eat them. You got to eat the
commiserate. Not necessarily together, but you got to eat them. Yeah,
right.
Equal number of buns and hot dogs.
That's correct.
Wow. That's a lot of bread, man. Okay. 73. Did you say 73?
No shit.
Yeah.
That's a lot of hot dogs.
Clearly, they're going to the vomitorium after that, right? I mean,
I have no idea. That's curious to me. I mean, they put up the stats after the contest. He ate like 20,000 calories.
But and this is obviously one of those oxymorons. The professional leaders are not fat. They're skinny
people. The good ones.
Yeah,
none of the good
Kobayashi
ones.
Kobayashi was a paperclip.
Because it's science.
Ah, it is.
Okay, because the fatter you are, fat does not stretch. So the thinner you are, the more your stomach can actually stretch. The fat ones, their stomach can only stretch so much. Right? It's a science, man. I don't know how they stay thin year after year. I mean, the dude ate 73 hot dogs. You know how long in history I'd have to go back to say I ate 73 hot dogs?
Yeah.
Maybe in my life.
Yeah.
No. I don't know. They even gave a statistic during the series. They're like, oh, at this point, Joey Joss Chestnut on the 4th of July has eaten 55,000 hot dogs.
That's just 4th of July. This clearly is not his only contest.
Yeah, yeah.
I think we're missing the ultimate overarching point, though. That announcer is absolutely the poet of our age.
Oh,
that
my
is
God.
Phenomenal.
I mean, that's why I watch.
And that is strictly off the cuff. I mean, that is crazy.
And we've probably talked about this far longer than anybody's interested in it.
But as we've said before, this is really for our amusement, not what else.
Yes, because I'm just fascinated. I mean, Joey Joss, I mean, I don't have his poster on my wall or anything, but
I'm not going to check to prove
it. All right, let's go to hardcore politics.
Let's get hardcore.
So Trump's gone to Poland. He's meeting with the G20. I thought he made a pretty good speech this morning in Poland. He
took on Kim Jong-un in that speech. Said, I've got a lot of very, nasty or something things that I can do. I'm deciding on what we're going to do, but we're going to deal with it. We're done. We don't draw red lines, but we're going to deal with
scary.
It.
It's a little scary.
Yeah, because...
Let me get that out of the way real quick. My good neighbors right here are Polish. I mean, to the end. I mean, they're from the old country, still got the accent. They are great people. We have had some good times at their house. Let me tell you, I think Polish women are really good looking. They like to drink vodka. Polish are good people.
These are your type of people.
They're good people. Anyways. A little scary, I think, with the Kim Jong-un thing. I mean...
Well, because I think... I believe him. I believe the president when he says... I don't draw red lines. I believe that. If you know, if you've seen him throughout his real estate career, the dude pulls the trigger figuratively. Now he can do it literally, and I think he will. Frankly, I think we're at that moment. That something has to be done because, as we talked about in the last segment, they're less than a year away from developing a missile that can reach the U.S. mainland. And this isn't like one of these Middle Eastern countries where it's a lot of posturing. This crazy bastard will shoot it off. And you can't allow that. Clearly, you can't allow that. So I'm a little surprised Japan hasn't gone like on full alert because the damn thing landed on their beach. You know, it landed in the Sea of Japan. And I'm just a little surprised that they haven't taken a bigger posture here. But... He made it very clear in that speech in Poland that Europe needs to get more involved and that they are going to take action, meaning us, if they can't get some resolution.
Well, I think it's scary because Putin come out with some kind of vague statement of support, you know.
It was a left-handed shot.
It was. And China needs to step up because you know, I think Trump has some really smart people in charge, H.R. McMaster... you know, Mattis, and I think when he says, look, we've got to stop this, what are we going to do? These are smart guys. They're going to come up with some options,
right.
And Trump's a guy, like you say, who knows whether or not he'd pull the trigger. And I think pulling the trigger is a bad thing. Not bad for us here in Knoxville, Tennessee, but it may be really bad for people in Japan and South Korea and everything else.
A lot of Americans,
those people need to, you know, something needs to be done. I mean... He's a madman.
And, you know, I read this article the other day that said China is not going to bail out Trump. But China needs to bail out China because if they fire this thing off and it misses, let's say it falls from the sky and it hits Japan, it effectively hits China because that mushroom cloud is not going to limit itself to Japan. The fallout literally will not limit itself to Japan. They are in the middle of this, whether they like it or not. And they have the economic power to put a stop to it. And the fact that they're not doing it,
they need to know
criminal.
It's not just about the mushroom cloud if it hits Japan. They need to know there would be retaliatory action.
Right.
And that's going to be severe. And
but they're going to feel the pain of whatever he does.
Yeah.
Physically, they're going to feel it. Not to just from his weapon alone, but then again, like you say, from our retaliatory strikes. I don't know why they're not jumping to do something about this dude. Because they are in this with us, whether they think they are or not. Because they're going to feel it one way or the other. If he has a misfire, they're going to feel it. Surely they understand they share a southern border with him. You know, one of these things crashes on the pad and the warhead goes off, they are going to lose a lot of Chinese citizens over this.
Well, we'll see what happens. Trump's meeting with the G20. He's supposed to meet with Putin on Friday.
Merkel tomorrow.
Yeah.
Merkel now, actually. As we're on the air, he's meeting with Merkel, which is a frosty relationship. And then with Putin, we'll see how that goes, because you know what that's going to start up, right? So we're going to go right back into this Russian nonsense again. It's going to be a
interesting
trip. Yep.
And we'll come back and talk about that next week. Let's go to I Got a Problem.
I got a problem. And my problem about to get me down. Yes, I got three big problems, y'all. And my problem about to get me down. Yeah, I got a problem with my woman, with my girlfriend, and my wife.
Okay, friends, so this, I don't know a lot about this, but let me just tell you what my take is. Lily Eskelson Garcia of the NEA, National Education Association, comes out at their big conference the other day and says she's not going to cooperate with Trump or Betsy DeVos at all. She suspects their motives, and she's not going to cooperate with him, period. Get it. Gets a big round of applause and all that shit.
Good for you, Lily.
Here's all I'm saying. For the last 8 years, I see all my liberal friends post shit on social media about how pathetic our education system is. I do a little research on my own. I go on the Rasmussen, da-da-da-da. Yeah, for an industrialized country, and I hate these comparisons. I hate when people go, well, compared to Denmark, our educational system ranks... Because you're only comparing one thing. You're not comparing the fact that the tax rate in Denmark is 60% and they pay $7 for a gallon of gas. I mean, there's a whole... And their immigration percentage is 0.012%.
Right. It's all Denmarkians.
Right. There's a whole lot of things that you're not thinking about there. But you make those... But the fact that I don't agree with them doesn't mean that you're not making those comparisons. So I go on to Rasmussen, and it's true. Our education, our public education, in a word, it sucks. It sucks. So this woman... You're not going to be open to any new ideas simply because you hate these people. I don't know Betsy DeVos from Betty Ford.
Who is the educational secretary, by the way.
Who is
Betsy DeVos.
And all I know is about Betsy DeVos is she became the educational Secretary of Education. She went to visit a school in Washington. They wouldn't let her in.
Wouldn't let her in.
Just because they hate her. Not for any legitimate reason, right? Just because she's a billionaire, so you're going to discriminate against people with a lot of money just because they have a lot of money. I don't know if she's going to be good, bad, or indifferent, Fran. I don't. What I know is our school system does lag behind, and women like this, Eskelson Garcia, you're not going to accept any new ideas. That's what you're saying. You're not going to go, okay, at least I'll listen. No.
Strange gambit for an educator.
So that's what I got a problem with. All right. And since I'm on a rat, let's just go to our next little thing, Theater of the Bizarre.
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills!
Real Wrath of God type stuff.
Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together.
Okay, Fran. I'm just going to lay out the facts here. This is a Canadian baby is believed to be the first infant born without an official gender designation. The infant, born in November and named Cyril Atley, I'm not sure I'm pronouncing that correct, S-E-A-R-Y-L, capital A-T-L-I, Cyril Atley, was issued with a U on the health card in the spot designated for sex, which, according to the BBC, could stand for undetermined or unassigned. Corey Doughty, a non-binary transgender person, and the infant's mother... How can you be non...
Wait, a what? A non-what?
Non-binary transgender person and
the
infant's mother.
What does that mean?
Dude, don't be asking me. I'm just reading the copy. is pushing to leave the child's birth certificate genderless. Here's the quote. I'm raising Cyril in such a way that until they have the sense of self and command of vocabulary to tell me who they are, I'm recognizing them as a baby and trying to give them all the love and support to be the most whole person that they can be outside of the restrictions that come with having a penis or a vagina. That's not what she said. That come with the boy box no. and the girl box. That's what she said.
A boy box and a girl box?
And a girl box. I ad-libbed penis and vagina. Look, you're born with a penis or a vagina. You're a boy or a
it's
girl.
It's settled. I mean, it's
how can you say that you're going to let the child grow up and vocal? How long does it take for a child to speak, friend? How long does it take
to gather that vocabulary with the understanding?
It and could for be, have a sense of self. Yeah. How do they get a sense of self if you are not aiding right. that along the way?
Right. That's again. They need to skip putting away the money for the university and start storing money away for this kid's counseling sessions.
Doty told the BBC that people who are assigned a specific gender at birth, they're assigned it. They're not assigned it, first of all.
No.
They're born with a penis or a vagina. But this is what she said, that people who are assigned a specific gender, that just blows my mind, often have a hard time later in life when they want to legally change their gender.
Yeah.
Well, I would agree with the second half of her statement. It is difficult to change your gender. I mean, that's not news.
It's a big deal.
It's a big deal.
Because you're born as one or the other.
It's not a simple operation. It's not like taking out your damn tonsils. I mean, it's hard for a reason because it's really not something you should be doing. But, you know,
people,
that's my opinion.
People, email me, text me. Talk to me. Tell me how this is not the Twilight Zone.
You know, the hyperbole, I guess we could really go crazy with, but how is this not a form of mental abuse?
I think so. I think it is. I mean, I think it's a form of child abuse.
Because, God, you're damning this kid to just, I don't know, it seems like a lifetime of anguish.
You're on the borderline of just effing this child up.
Yeah.
That's all. That's all.
Yeah, I'm not so sure they haven't crossed that line.
Okay. Well, that's Theater of the Bizarre.
The other thing I would say to her is good luck. Good luck not coming up with a gender until this kid can speak on a level that they have understanding.
Let's imagine this. What am I, Mommy? Well, I don't know. You tell me what you are.
Right. With absolutely no knowledge to base that answer on, what's he going to say?
Well, I don't know. You're whatever you think you are. What do you think you are? Well, I'm swinging, so
I'm stroking this thing for in long showers when I'm 12, so yeah.
I don't know how they accept that. So, call me old school
how,
when people just had a penis or a vagina.
So, here's another issue with that. I know we were trying to move on.
Yeah.
But the medical establishment in Canada is government-run. So the government has just decided
that they get to
pick the gender of the child.
That's right.
How can they do that?
I don't know.
You know some freaking nut job in this country is going to try it too. You absolutely know that's coming.
Good luck with it. Good luck. All right. For more craziness, let's go to Signs of the Apocalypse.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
All right, friends. So, you know, we have a script. We share a script, you know, through Dropbox and social media. And then I see your title on there, Sex Robots. You know what it's like to Google sex robots to try to find your story?
I do not, because I didn't Google it. Merry Christmas.
I mean, at least I knew better not to do it at work.
Yes. I should have put not safe for work on that. Although I pretty much thought that spoke for itself.
It kind of does.
The words sex and robots. Yeah, I wouldn't Google that at work. Don't Google that at work, people. So actually, the last story was really a sign of the apocalypse for me.
Yeah.
This now pales in comparison, if you can believe that. But the Canadian government, again, busted a guy because he imported a sex robot from Japan. They stopped at the airport. Then when they found out where it was going, they went to the house and arrested him. And what they found out was that the sex robot was in the shape of a child, right? So this was a sex robot that was built to look like a little kid, for obvious reasons, if I had to spell it out. And they charged him with possessing child pornography, and he's pleading not guilty, and the case is pending. So what they found out was that there's several companies in the Asian world that are putting out these sex robots, and apparently there's a lot more versions out there than you would have expected, than I would have expected. And these things are advanced. Like, you can control them with apps on your phone, and there's one that even has the beginnings of AI where it will respond in voice to you. And so it's...
Yeah. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, but so based on the last segment,
yeah,
what problem does the Canadian government have with this?
Right,
they're okay with taking humans and saying, "You get old enough, you tell us what sex you want to be, regardless of the fact that you got a pecker. You decide." Well, what's the problem with this guy getting a robot?
I mean, it's a robot, right?
Yeah, it's his business what he does with it. I mean,
it's damn freaky, but.
But how is it any more freaky than telling your child, well, I don't know what sex you are until you tell me what sex you are.
Right.
I don't know your gender, even though we all know the child's gender, because that's already figured out as they're conceived. But no, that's okay. You just screw that child's eyes out and make them crazy, right? Not knowing who they are. But this guy can't have a robot? I don't understand the line of demarcation there. Where
I have no idea.
And this came up a long time ago, and you mentioned this at one point. You probably don't even remember this, but it was a slippery slope argument, and it was like, well, yes. Where is the line?
No, I remember.
Yeah, where is the line?
Have the argument. So when you start moving the line, where it is?
Who decides where it stops? Right?
Who decides where it stops?
And so my question is, I'm against both of those segments. I don't think you should be allowed to have a sex robot, and I don't think you should wait until the child tells you what gender they are, because it's physically obvious from their anatomy. And I think both of those things are wrong. But if you're going to say one of them is right, on what basis do you say the other is wrong? I'm lost as to how they're making that.
Right.
And it's both the Canadian government. Make no mistake. The Canadian government runs healthcare in Canada. So when the healthcare makes a decision, it's the government making the decision. And the Canadian government arrested this man because he imported this doll from Japan, even though there are no laws against importing robots from Japan. Like, he didn't break any treaties or import laws or any of that.
Or he didn't actually have sex with a child,
right?
As far as they know.
It's a device. It would be the same thing as if he stuck his pecker into the toaster.
Right.
But because it's shaped like a child, they're charging him with child pornography. Okay. I think that's stretching the bounds of the law, but all right. But then how are you telling me that this other thing is okay? Where's the, like you say, where's the line?
We're mixing them up, people.
Yeah.
We're mixing them up.
Yeah, and I hope that everyone's okay.
And I did, you're right. I've made this argument for 20 years and got poo-pooed at University of Tennessee, master's, everything. I said, when you start moving the lines, who decides where it is? People said, dude, you're nuts. That's nonsense. Well, here we are.
When you make morality questionable or variable, who gets to decide where the variable ends?
Yeah.
When is X no longer equal good? You know what I mean? Like, at what point does a variable not work?
Like, for example, if I start to identify as a 9-year-old girl, is it illegal for my wife to have sex with me?
In Canada, it appears it might be.
It should be.
She would be charged with rape.
Which is all crazy.
Right.
Okay. All right. It's enough.
This is probably as close to the size of the apocalypse I think we've actually truly ever gotten. Because most of the time they're tongue-in-cheek, but this one is not.
If you're in a state where it's legal, go blaze one up. That's all I'm saying. Take it easy.
You might as well just start.
All right, people. This is UFUF 164. Look, thousands of you are subscribing to us. We're so excited. We're so pleased. Let us know what you think. Let us know how you enjoy it.
It's almost hard to fathom when you think about it.
Very hard to fathom. But we appreciate it nonetheless. We've got a big summer ahead of us in more ways than one. Things are happening. So it's going to be fun. Expect big changes.
That's what they call a cliffhanger in the business.
Expect big changes in UF, and you're going to enjoy them. We're not going to get rid of any of your favorites. We're going to give you more of what you like. It's like if you like Twinkies, you're going to get twice of those.
Robots. We're going to get robots.
Robot Twinkies. I don't know what I'm saying. Look, have fun, people. Hope you enjoyed your 4th of July. God bless America. God bless Joey Chestnut, you hot dog eating son of a gun. 73 dogs.
How many dogs per minute is that?
That's a 7.3 DPM. Folks, we'll see you next week. Good night. Jonah, tell all the good people night-night.
Night-night. Night-night.
Thanks, Tony and Fran, for getting us unfiltered and unfettered.